You are listening to Equity Equals on the Michigan Business Network. Equity Equals promotes nonprofit businesses and social entrepreneurs that impact Michigan's double bottom line. The host is Angela Austin.
Thank you for joining us for the Promise and Praxis of Racial Healing panel at James Madison College.
One of the great things about Madison College is training of students to be ready for law school and to fight various forms of discrimination. Make one other comment. I'll say to my young African-American students, don't give up on whites, all whites. Man, I got a couple at the gym I'm going to give up on. I'll tell you about one. Our exercise. Tell you why. Lately, I have lectured at Texas A&M, Wellesley. Wellesley is one of the wealthiest colleges in the country up in Boston. It was an all-girls school up until this year. UNLV, that's the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Those schools I've recently lectured at. White student, I'm seeing a new breed of white students, not necessarily all, who think differently than their grandparents and parents thought. They are looking for a way to improve society. They're looking for a way to open up for women. So you don't have a Harvey Weinstein or, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby or anybody else coming along, abusing people and keeping it a secret. So yes, things are improving. There's a new group of young people. Finally, I want to say, Curtis Hill's catching up, handling of wealth. Property, owning homes, is one of the most significant ways of passing wealth along from generation to generation. And that was one of the reasons I fought so hard to buy a home in East Lansing. When my parents died, they had nothing to leave. Well, yes, they did. They left us a great thing. My father and mother left us with a desire and a will to get an education. And as a function of that and pushing us, go to school, get the grades. See, my father going over to Joseph Timrosky's place, a real estate firm over on the east side of Detroit, 55 years ago, borrowing money. He says, my father, Dad, why are you always borrowing money? I was only 10, 11, 12 years old. But Joseph Timrosky, he was borrowing money to pay my brother's medical school tuition. He was borrowing money to pay my sister's nursing school education. Education is a key factor related to passing on wealth. Coming back, one, I think things are much better today. A long ways to go. We're not nearly where we need to be. Police brutality is a part of it. The color of law, I just got the book from Mark McKinney, former chief guy at the Kellogg Foundation, gave me the book. Black Lives Matter is a great organization. One of my close colleagues, I won't mention his name, whom you all know, we had a little struggle over Black Lives Matter. But we had SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, years ago. And what Black Lives Matter matters, young people, what they will do, they highlight the seriousness and the plight yet of many blacks in our society. And race matters still, that's working on it, but income matters. Blacks who are middle income, like Lisa Biggs, who live in a university environment, who has a university salary, makes a lot of money. She's a very brilliant teacher, scholar. She lives better than a person on the west side of Las Vegas. That's a good example. West side of Las Vegas, we'll talk about that later. So panel, you all keep going. I'll stay a little bit longer. And forgive me, and thank you for giving me time to talk. I'm 83 years of age, and when you get old, you can always blame it on getting old. I'll tell you why. I went to South Africa with my wife, my third or fourth trip. Went to South Africa with my wife. There were about 30. There were 30 of us. At least, you played an old game. So my wife's luggage was so heavy. I mean, it was heavy. And there were three young guys. Two were married. They were all in their 30s. And another young unmarried guy. They were all there. And I went to get my luggage. I said, oh, I'm so old. They say, how old are you? I said, I'm 100. I had a few years. And you know what? They carried my luggage all over South Africa, Lisa. The Durban, Cape Town.
How you do it.
So there's a way to make even getting old work to your advantage. Thank you all very much.
To be on the panel with you, sir, and with everyone. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here. I don't know what I could possibly say after that. But I I think part of the reason I was invited here is because I've recently been working on a theater piece about the 67 Detroit Rebellion called Afterlife, which we very purposely presented in Detroit at a community center just down the street from the site where the rebellion began on July 23rd, 1967. Mm-hmm. And I would like to just maybe build a couple of thoughts off of what's already been said and shared. First, I wanted to think a little bit about this question about what 50 years ago was like, and as you have alluded to in such fabulous detail, thank you so much for sharing the family stories and your memories. Is that those questions about police brutality, the questions also about extra legal policing of black and brown bodies. Those are issues.
We hope that you were enlightened by today's panel conversation featuring highlights from the promise and praxis of racial healing at James Madison College. We have much work to do, and we hope that you will be in it with us. Thank you for tuning in to Equity Equals.
You are listening to Equity Equals on the Michigan Business Network. Equity Equals promotes nonprofit businesses and social entrepreneurs that impact Michigan's double bottom line. Who even thought to ask? Who's bad?